Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends, to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with our guest this week, Pete Burak. Pete's the Vice President of Renewal Ministries. He's at the core of our executive team. He and I and Ralph Martin are kind of leading the ministry together, and I've known Pete for many, many years. I've asked him to come on the program this week, if you haven't had a chance to tune in, to talk about a new book he's just written called A Man on Purpose. Welcome back, Pete.
Good to be with you.
We did yesterday with a thought. Mm-hmm. Just you told a few little anecdotal stories about your relationship with your dad. Mm-hmm. I wonder if today we could just tell a fuller story about who your father was and the relationship that you had with him, and a little bit of a deeper dive just to see, because there's so much there, and I had so much admiration for your father mm-hmm. and the way he led in so many ways in his life, but particularly the relationship he had with you and your brother. And,
Yeah. So Chris Burak, born in Sterling Heights, Michigan, to a wonderful father and mother who, Alice and George, who had some challenges growing up and different things. But ultimately, the journey, he became a pretty good athlete and ended up at the University of Michigan and became a member of the University of Michigan baseball team. Ended up being the MVP, actually, his senior year. And had a great, he was such an effective shortstop. He went the whole senior year without a single error. And so much so that the coach every year forward gave number 29 to the shortstops as a way to honor my dad. And in that time, he met my mom. And my mom was born and raised in Ann Arbor and a very faithful Catholic woman for her entire life. She's loved Jesus her entire life. My dad was raised Lutheran and kind of in that time converted to Catholicism. And they started their life together. And from the beginning, they placed Jesus at the center of their marriage. And a lot of that had to do with things that they encountered on the University of Michigan campus. But then early in their married life, they were part of the Word of God community from very close to the beginning and part of different households and relationships and part of the formation, Foundations 1 and Foundations 2 and all these different things. They were just very intentional from the beginning about cultivating their married life around Jesus, around being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and around a kind of always asking a question like, Jesus, what do you want us to do? What's the plan? What's your plan? We want to be faithful to your plan. And so over the years, what that took many different forms. It took them 6 years to get my brother, Brian, unexplained infertility. And so they suffered through waiting for their first child. And then he came along and then took them 6 more years to get me. They prayed and fasted, and then eventually I came along. And so from the very beginning of my experience in our family life, Jesus was at the center. We were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We were united as a family. The goal, we used to refer to ourselves as Team Burak. Like we're in this together. We're a unit that the Lord has brought together that is led by mom and dad, but that Jesus is at the center of it. And then one of the greatest gifts they gave us was that even though my dad, as his professional career started to take off, they discerned that they wanted to stay in Ann Arbor and they didn't want to go. He had opportunities to go advance more quickly in different states. And he did, every time they just discerned that, no, the Lord wants us here. And so whether it was Pine Hills Boys Camp for me growing up and my brother, or Christ the King Parish, or Huron Valley Catholic School, or all these different communities and environments that they intentionally allowed Brian and I to live in and live through. And so our friendships and the different families of people like the Herbecks and the Sauders and the Macaris and the Crestas and the Chocleys and all these different families were collectively raised together. And that was very much at the intentional decision of my mom and dad. And so, as I say in the book, you know, my dad, in many ways, a very ordinary guy, you know, like when he walked into a room, it's not like people would have stopped and been like, who's that guy? You know, it's 5'11 on a good day. But just a very peaceful, joyful guy who ultimately gave his life completely to Jesus Christ, was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then did everything in his power to cooperate with the Lord's will in his life day in and day out. And so sometimes in very hidden and uninspiring ways, like every morning I woke up, I knew Dad was praying, because sometimes he woke me up to pray with him, which wasn't always ideal. But he was always praying. He was going to Mass as often as possible. He was supporting the church. He was looking to serve. He just really tried to live a good life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that was really the foundation of everything that they did with us.
What are the, you might say, most memorable stories in terms of impact on you and exercising now your life as a father?
Yeah, there's several. The one that starts the book is I came home from school on my 16th birthday, and my dad was waiting for me, which was a little surprising. He said, hey, change your shirt. We're going on an adventure. And the adventure part was not surprising. You know, he called everything an adventure. He saw life as an adventure, which is one of the things he formed us in, was to really be looking for opportunities to risk for the sake of something cool and glorious and all that. Not to be afraid to fail. I got changed and got in the car, and we started driving down Washington Avenue and took a right into Paisano's restaurant and didn't go in the front door, came in the back door and walked into this little kind of conference room that had been set up, and there were really arguably the six most important men in my life waiting for me. It was my brother, my grandfather, a couple of priests, an uncle. And my dad turned to me and he said, "It's your 16th birthday, and tonight we're going to talk to you about what it means to be a man." And so he said, "Sit right there and pay close attention." So we sat at the table, and for a couple hours, we ate delicious Italian food, and each of the guys had written me a letter about what it means to be a man of God from their perspective. And they read me the letter and then presented it to me. And then at the end of the night, he handed me a binder with about 15 other letters. One of them was written by a Peter Herbeck. And he said, he kind of took that binder and he slapped it across my chest. I'll never forget that feeling. It was just like,
yeah.
And he said, he looked me in the eye, said, "I love you. I'm proud of you. We believe in you. This is who we expect you to be." And he said, "You can ask us for anything except for money." And he said, "But we're behind you and we believe in you and you can do this." And I look back on that as such a seminal moment, like a kind of a rite of passage moment of really feeling like I wasn't in many ways that different walking out of the room that night. But in many ways, I was completely different. Something had been bestowed on me, something I'd been invited into, a vision of life that has shaped me to this day. I mean, just a couple months ago, I found all those letters and reread them. And it was amazing how true they still were, you know, and how hopeful they still were, and how funny they were, and how formative. So that was a really significant moment right at that age of 16, where I'm trying to kind of step into my own agency and independence as a young man, for him to have the intentionality to create a little rite of passage moment. Was evidence of his creativity, his evidence of his intentionality. But if you think about it, it's not like that was remarkably profound. It's not like we got on a private jet to fly to some other place. Like, he didn't have to do anything so super intense or expensive. It was just a simple moment of intentionality. And that's, I could give 15 other examples of him just thinking about, okay, what do my sons need in this moment to take the next step? And you were part of another one where our senior year, Mike and I, you guys decided that we needed adventure, right? Where'd we go? We went up to Alaska and did salmon fishing and hiked and did all those things. What was that? That was another example of the two of you strategizing. We prayed together. We went on an adventure together. We were stretched. And it kind of helped us feel like men. You know, we were doing manly things. And so, yeah, there's just lots of examples of that type of thing. But the main thing was it wasn't like he was doing something beyond what most people could do. It was just he had thought about it and he had prayed about it. And he really then said, "Okay, the Lord, I think Pete needs this now." And then he acted on it.
Yeah. I don't know if your dad experienced something like that growing up with his own father. May not have. But I think just if guys are listening, you think, wow, that's amazing. But the decision to live fatherhood as an adventure.
Yeah.
And also, I just want to learn how to do this well, and I'm going to learn from other guys, and I'm going to take some risks, and I'm going to do this. And because I think guys would say, wow, that sounds pretty awesome, but I've never had an experience like that.
Right.
And you can feel like, I don't know if I could do something like that. And so you can do it in different ways. And it's also great to have other friends, like your dad had friends and other brothers who were working their way through the whole father and the dad process together. But they understood, no, we need to help create this rite of passage. I want to create this rite of passage moment with my son. I want to bring people around that he knows and loves. And I want this to mark his life.
Absolutely.
And this is how I want to do it. Guys, yep. You in with me? Yeah, we'll go with you. Let's do it. You know?
Yeah, and so, guys love it. And we ended up, my brother and I did it for a couple of my cousins because their father had died. And so they didn't. And almost every culture has a rite of passage moment for men.
Right. Yeah.
And except ours, except America, because we're such a melting pot, we've actually kind of diluted. It's, if you ask guys, like, what would be the rite of passage as an American boy? You'd be like, I don't know, maybe getting a driver's license or, you know, like, what? There isn't that key moment. But almost every other culture has had some moment where you've been a boy and now you're a man. And that journey, that conversation or that moment is designed by the other men. It's like, go off into the woods, and if you can survive, you come back to the village and you're a man, you know? Mm-hmm. And we've really lost something by not having those moments. It's one of the reasons I love Pine Hills Boys Camp so much, is because these boys going into 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, they're put through a very challenging but safe and inspiring environment where at the end of it, they feel like they've accomplished something. It's why at camp, I hope boys aren't listening here, but one of the things we do with the 9th graders is the final day of their week of workouts, we ask the fathers to write them a letter now for this very reason, to say, like, we know you've accomplished this thing. We see you as your dad. We want to affirm what you just went through and want you to know that when you get back home, we're here for you. And we've introduced that just in the last couple of years, and the impact of that has been profound, again, because it's, they were this way and now they're that way, and the men in their life are noticing, affirming, and saying, yes, this is true.
Some people who are listening may not have any idea what Pine Hills Camp is. Yeah. What are you referring to?
Yeah, so it's a camp that we run through Renewal Ministries. It started before Renewal, but has been part into Renewal Ministries in the last couple of years. There's a girls camp that run by your wife, Debbie, Pine Hills Girls Camp, and then Pine Hills Boys Camp. It's just a week-long camp in the summer for boys going into 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And for boys camp, we have three goals. We want to help them meet Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to teach them authentic Christian masculinity, and especially in leadership. And then the third is to have a great time, to have fun. And so the week is full of all sorts of different challenges and fun, and we call it trickle-down leadership. Everybody at camp is leading somebody else, all the way down to even the little seventh graders are leading themselves. They're learning how to serve and learning how to lead by serving. And so we have high schoolers and college guys who come back as counselors and service team, and it's one of my favorite things that happens every year, because generally we have about 250 to 300 guys out there total with the staff and the campers worshiping God, going all out, having a blast, being totally boys. And to see these little guys who come in from wherever they are, whatever family situation they have, whatever schools they're in, a lot of them come stumbling into camp pretty confused, pretty broken, pretty scared, wondering what life is all about and how do I fit into it. Some of them haven't been outside much because they've been stuck in with screens. And to see, usually it's about Tuesday afternoon or into Wednesday, the camp all of a sudden just kind of like pops. And these boys are starting to remember kind of like what it means to be a little dangerous and remember what it means to fall and get dirty and it's okay. And they've just been activated in the Lord. And then throughout the rest of the week, it's just such a delight to see them really encounter the living God who loves them and to go to confession and to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and to worship without fear or without any restraint. It's just such a tremendous gift. And I look forward to it every year. And I started as a camper in the year 2000. And I've been every single year ever since in every various capacity. And now I have the joy of being one of the co-camp directors.
Yeah, and you see in that context, some of the dynamics you're talking about, just how a young guy who comes in, most guys are just feel very insecure. And so many young people have such deep identity crises going on. And so what's the answer to it? Well, to get around good men for young boys or for the girls' camp, same kind of thing. But around good young men who can help create an adventure and create an experience where other young guys can experience it together. And they start building friendships, but they see models in front of them who they want to be like. And it just reinforces what's going on in family and fatherhood in the family. So those are wonderful things. How can people get the book, A Man on Purpose?
Yeah, go to renewalministries.net/store. Just go to renewalministries.net. You'll find it there. Or it's all over Amazon or all of those other places. Yeah, A Man on Purpose, 10 Rules of Life from a Faithful Father.
Thank you, Pete. We have one more day with you?
Yes, please.
Okay, so tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit more about the adventure, both the adventure of what God's doing in Pete's life right now and working with young men as well. Hope you can join us. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.